Jump right in there. I'm going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. I'm going to talk tonight about don't give the devil the advantage. Don't give the devil the advantage. Ephesians 4, verse 22. It says, and that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him extol, steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him which needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's pray, and let's ask God, all of us, to really speak to us tonight about not giving the devil the advantage. Let's pray. And Father, I know I need you, Lord. I know that I need good preaching. I need the Holy Spirit to speak to me. I need the Word of God, Father. And I pray tonight that I would get that. I pray that I would hear from you, Lord. And we've been blessed to think about the Lord's Supper and communion with and the body and the blood of Jesus, Lord, and that's a blessing. And blessed watching some video about a mission trip, and we're blessed in these things, Father. And now we've read the Word of God. What an honor, what a privilege to read it. I thank you that our people have Bibles to look at while I read it. And I pray tonight, Lord, that we would have our ears open and have another service where we're hungry for your Word and our ears that hear. We pray that you would speak, Lord. We don't know that we will have another service like this, and we just pray that tonight's service would be anointed and you would help us. We pray you would be pleased with what's done, and that we would speak your word truthfully, and every one of us at the end would say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way, and we would do whatever you want and be yielded to you. Please speak to us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to really focus this sermon on verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. We'll go to the verses around there, but I want to put that in the center of it. Neither give place to the devil. Why don't you say that with me? Ready? Neither give place to the devil. Let's say that one more time. Neither give place to the devil. In the Bible, we find that the devil comes and goes. For example, the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So he's not perpetually there. We find that the devil is not omnipresent. He and even tells God in the book of Job, I've been going around back and forth around the earth, you know, looking at different things and stuff. And so the devil isn't everywhere, but the devil and his demons, they come for a season and attack you. If you follow Jesus' temptation in Matthew 4, he tries Jesus three times with temptation. And in the fourth time, or after the three times Jesus said no, it says the devil departed from him. Okay? The devil is not a constant. The devil and his demons, and he sends demons to do his work, and the devils, and there's many devils and many demons in the Bible. I don't have the math with me right now, but I've done the math before of the minimum number of demons that there has to be, because the Bible says, the Bible uses the number 200 million, I think it is the biggest number in the Bible, if I remember right, and if you use that number and the Bible says there is angels without number, then it's got to be more than 200 million angels, and there's got to be a third of that number of demons. And so I kind of figured there's a minimum number, there's a lot of them. If you can't number the angels and the angels, there's that many of them, and a third of it, there's a third that many demons, and you got a lot of demons, and you know, some people are possessed with legion, thousands of them. So there's lots of demons to go around, and we are attacked by them. And the Bible says, don't give place to the devil, because the devil will come and go. He'll give up when he's resisted. The devil, you find in the Bible, is looking for easy targets. The Bible, that's why the Bible says, resist the devil, he will flee from you. The Bible says he's going about, roaming about, seeking whom he may devour. He's trying to find somebody that he can devour. Okay? And so he's just looking for, if you've got the armor of God on you and you're prayed up and you're ready to fight, listen, the devil's going to try a little bit, but he's going to go and shake the door and find out the knob is locked and look for an easier target and come back to you in your weak moments. And so the devil's not always there. Now, he's our enemy. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. The word Satan comes from the Hebrew word, which means enemy. Your adversary, the devil. The devil is your enemy. So you don't want to give him a place. You want to let him move on. You don't want him to have a place. He'll stay there, and he'll have that. So the Bible commands you, neither give place to the devil. So I want to give you just some things around here and around the Bible of ways to not give the devil an advantage in our life, and the way to let the devil have an easy pickings and opportunities. There's enough temptation without leaving the devil in your backyard. That's what the Bible says in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. You can make the Christian life much easier if you don't put yourself in places of temptation or places where the devil has a place to work from, a base to attack from within your very where you are. So some things he's going to give us here is to not give the place to the devil. It's first of all is replace the bad and do not leave voids. Replace the bad and do not leave voids. Look at start of verse 22. Notice you're going to get rid of something in verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So put off the old man. That's good. That's the deceitful lust. That's the old you. That's the old nature. That's a sinful nature. Put that off. But that's not the end of the story. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man. So you see there's a putting away and there's a putting on. There's a putting away and a putting on. And we see the parable, or the story of the man who had seven, he had a demon inside of him, and he cleaned out his house and got rid of the demon, but he swept and garnished it, the Bible says, in Matthew 12, I believe it is, and he left it open, and the demon came back and said, look, it's empty, and he brought seven more demons, and the man is worse off afterward than before because he left a void for Satan. See, voids in your life, if you don't put good things in, voids in your life get filled with bad things. And so you don't give the devil a place to park. You fill up your life with good things. Yes, get rid of the bad. But then once you get rid of the bad, fill it with good things. You put off, you put on. Look at verse, 25. It says, wherefore, putting away lying, okay, put that away, speak every man truth with his neighbor. So you're replacing lying with telling truth. And verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. Good. Quit stealing. Don't steal. It's a bad thing. Do not steal. God puts being a thief in Revelation 21 with a whole bunch of terrible sins that will not have their place in heaven. And it's a sin and it's terrible. And so don't be a thief. But it says do something different. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So he says, hey, quit stealing, but take those hands that used to pickpocket and steal and make those hands useful so you could work with those hands to earn money to give to somebody else. Why? You're replacing taking from someone to giving to someone. So you replace the bad with the good. It is impossible for a human with a fallen nature to just not do bad. You got to get busy doing good things. So if you want to not give the devil a place, you cannot leave voids. You've got to replace the bad with good things. Number two, don't let anger and unforgiveness remain. Let's look at verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now there's a colon there, neither give place to the devil. We're going to read another verse. Now wait a minute. It's going to associate here, just like it did in this verse. Wrath and the sun going down on your anger is going to associate with giving the devil a place. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil, period. That's the end of the sentence. So do not leave that open door of unforgiveness and anger. Let me take it to 2 Corinthians. It'll say this also. I believe when it's saying, the main thing it's saying there is, in do not give the devil a place, is it's saying don't let your anger, the sun go down. Don't let anger linger there. It's very important. 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. Chapter 2. And I don't know why I said chapter 11. I think we're going to, I went there this morning, but not tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 8. It says, wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. This is a fallen man who needs to be redeemed back to the church and fellowship. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. He says, you know what? Lest Satan get an advantage of us, we better do all the forgiving and get this all right. You forgave him, I forgave him. Let's just go ahead and let this guy go free and not be overswallowed in sorrow. Let's just forgive this guy so Satan doesn't get an advantage of us. Why? Because when there is unforgiveness and bitterness and wrath, the Bible says that all these things be removed from you. When you leave those things there, Satan now has a place to work. The devil now has a place to work. Now, let me illustrate this. All right, Robbie, come on up here whenever you're done riding here. All right. Robbie here is going to be a good Christian. And you're going to be behind the pulpit here. And he's going to read his Bible. He gets to be the only guy in the world to see my sermon notes. So Robbie is there, and he's going to try to be a good Christian. Now, I'm going to come up as Satan, and I'm going to try to get him. You're already distracted with me. You're supposed to be doing the right thing. And so I'm going to come up, and I'm going to try to make him do wrong and distract him, just like the devil does. And I'm going to come, and here I come, seeking to devour him. And you're going to resist me. And I'm going to try to attack you and hurt you, and you're going to try to resist me. You're going to resist me. No, push me back. Fight with me. You got to fight the devil better than that. Hit me or something, or push me or something. Go ahead, push me. Go ahead and push me. All right. So I hear that. Ah, he's too tough. I'm leaving. So that's it. That's the way life should go right there. You're doing the right thing. Devil comes up, and you fight against him. He fights against you, tries to get you to do the wrong thing, and you resist him, and he goes away. That's the way life's supposed to go. That's the way the Christian life's supposed to go. Here's the problem. I come up here, and Robbie's got an issue with Jeremy over here. And Jeremy, he stole your Whoppers. And that's pretty bad. And so you're mad at him. And I say, you know, you got to think about how good those Whoppers would have been. And think about this. Now, he's going to get angry. He starts getting angry at him. And he's not resisting me. His mind's on him. And now he's dwelling on it. And let's say Jeremy doesn't ask for forgiveness, or Jeremy does ask forgiveness, doesn't matter, and he sunsets, and he still has his wrath there. Guess what? Now, because he has this unforgiveness, because he has not resisted me, I now have a place in his life. And now I got a place to work. So I sit down, and I go to work. I've got many tools here. Now, you got to keep on trying to do right, but you know what? I got a place now to work on you. I got weapons here. His wrath is still there. He's given me a place in his life. He hasn't resisted me. He's given me a spot, so I take my weapons out, and I just kind of keep on beating on him. Now, he can resist me, but I still got a place. He can say no to that particular sin, and he can knock the sword out of my hand, and I can be beating him, but you know what? He knocks it out, and... But you know what? I'm still here. I didn't leave. He gave me a place. I now have a place in his life. Guess what? It's hard enough when he comes and tempts you sometimes. When you give him a place, now I'm here, I'm just here to torture you. I can get him and see if I can distract him from his Bible reading there and from doing the right thing. What do I got in my little bag of tools? I got plenty of time to work on this. Oh, I got me a little pink bell. Hey, don't. And I'm working on him. I'm distracting him. And I'm irritating him, aren't I? And so I'm bothering him. What? He's sitting there. He's got me right here. He's given me a place in his life. He's got unforgiveness. That's the way many homes are, by the way. Satan's got a wide open thing in your home because you're sitting there in bitterness toward each other. No wonder he reaps so much other havoc that you think's not associated. Because it is. So he's sitting there trying to do the right thing, and I'm just, man, I'm having a time because I got a spot here. And you can try to keep doing right, but you know, I can just keep on hitting him. I got all kinds of tools here. I raided the whole nursery here, and I can pick on him all day. I can Chinese torture him, and I can do. I'm here. He's given me a place. He's living in unforgiveness. Now, he finally says, "You know, I'm tired of this. See, I'm making him do all kinds of other things wrong. He doesn't know that he's now having struggling thoughts with going back to stealing like he used to do. But really, it stems back." To, I have a place. I'm working on him all the time. Because he left me a spot in his life. Now, you can do, there's other ways, but I'm just saying the way right here is anger and unforgiveness. You said, Satan, you can be here. I'm going to live here. Bible says, forgive as Christ forgave you. I have this opportunity now to just keep on working him and keep on beating him. He's not, I don't flee from him, as the Bible says. I'm there. I'm here. I got my spot. You know, it's a tragic thing. You can go sit down. It's a tragic thing that some people's whole life, I mean 20 and 30 years, their life is so hard spiritually because they have had the same thing sitting there in their life, the same spot for Satan for 20 years. And there's other ways you can give places to Satan. I want to say, don't you neither give place to the devil. It's hard enough when you're doing the right thing and the temptation comes, but you can resist him and he flees from you. But when you give him a place in your home, in your life, in what you're doing, you're asking for trouble and you're going to be frustrated because he's got an advantage over you now. You gave him the hands up. You gave him the club to beat you with. You gave the devil a place, and we've got to get that in our life. So it says, hey, let's just forgive. Let's get this gone. You know what? You forgive. If you say it's done and it's done with me, I'll forgive him. You forgive him. Let's just let this guy go. Let's not let Satan get an advantage of us with this bitterness. And so don't give place to the devil. It gives the devil an advantage. Unforgiveness and wrath and lingering anger is the devil's workshop. He gets an advantage there. He's allowed because you've allowed something to linger. You are letting an infection happen because you're letting the germ stay. And it stays there. And you've got to, not for the person that you need to forgive. They might not even know you don't forgive them, but for your sake. And whatever area, you can keep temptation in your life. You can give Satan a place in your life. I remember I was... one day, and I wasn't more than a mile from here, and I was knocking on doors, and a guy came to the door, and he was a rough guy. He was a heroin addict. He showed me, man, and showed me his lines up and down his arm, and so I'm witnessing the guy. He says, hey, why don't you come on in? And this is a rough guy, and he says, you don't want to come inside and talk. It's cold out here. And so we walk inside of his house. And the second I passed the threshold of his door, I immediately was completely inundated with demons. I mean, it was just a line. Boom. And so I didn't know what in the world was happening. I just knew there was a gazillion demons attacking me. And everything in me screamed, this is not the place to be. Get out of here. And I walked in the house. I was just looking at the ground saying, Lord, what in the world is going on? I feel like I have 3 million demons hopping on me. And I just walk in. I sit down on the couch. And he's talking to me, telling me all the stuff's going on. And I look up. And the first thing I see is a skull looking at me from the dresser there. And everything in me, the Lord's just saying, get out of this place. This isn't where you need to be. And I look up. And he sees me looking at it. And he says, oh, he says, that's the other thing in my life. He says, the lady I live with, she's a satanic witch. And I look around the room and there are pentagrams everywhere and skulls everywhere and witchcraft books everywhere and all kinds of crazy things around me everywhere. And he says, I am scared to death of her. She is evil and she is powerful. And I just stood up and I started walking out of the house and I said, you know, I need to go. And he said, well, no, let me show you this. She has got a statue that's demon possessed. It's got a demon in it. He says, this statue's alive. And I said, you know, that's okay. I'm going to get going. And by the way, I am not a nervous person in the slightest. I laugh at everything and nothing really scares me much. But the Lord is telling me, get out of this place. This place is inundated with evil and it's all wrong. And he says, no, you got to see this thing. This thing stares at me. It's alive. He scares me to death. And he turned and I didn't know what he's doing. And I was just walking out the door. And as I walked out the door, he grabbed something off the dresser and turned it around. Call me crazy, say whatever you want. I physically got knocked, my head knocked back with a wave of evil. And it physically knocked me back. And my entire face went numb. And there was this weird, and I just got a glimpse of this evil statue with a bunch of spikes in his head and voodoo stuff. And I just said, I got to go, man. I walked out the door, and he walked out with me, shut the door. Whew, 1,000 pounds went off me. And he says, so, you know, anyway, my life is this and this, and I can't seem to get free and this. And I said, I'd move out. Why don't I have a place to live? I said, you aren't going to get victory living in that house. Why? Because the devil has a total advantage there. You're around the evil. And don't think that you're so strong and you're so tough. You can be around where the devil has an advantage. You can go to rock concerts. You can go to immoral places. You can listen to the bad music and the satanic music and the wicked music and go and be around all kinds of immorality things in the Bible and think you're so strong and so tough. You can watch bad things on TV. You can just hang around and give evil a place in your life and you'll be just fine. Either you're completely numb to what being spiritual is, you have no idea, or you're deceiving yourself. You can't give Satan, I can't, maybe you're stronger than me, but I'm in this flesh and my flesh isn't very strong. I can't give Satan an advantage. I can't give him a place to, I can't give a base in the middle. Can you imagine giving your enemy a base in the middle of your house? Now, I'll let you guys stay in my house, but don't attack me. What are you thinking? Don't give Satan the advantage. Don't give him a place. That's why in the Bible they burned up books and all kinds of immoral stuff. Because those New Testament Christians weren't as strong as Christians nowadays who can handle everything. Why? They didn't want to give Satan an advantage. He doesn't need an advantage. You're weak enough and I'm weak enough that we need to stay sober, vigilant. And that's our next point. You give the devil, if you want to give the devil advantage, if you don't want to give the advantage, you got to be on guard. Let's read 1 Peter 5:8. We quoted it a little bit. I'm just talking about not giving the devil advantage, not giving him a place. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished of your brethren that are in the world. Don't give him a place, and be on guard, be sober, be vigilant, watch carefully. Boy, listen, vigilant like a soldier, watching for the enemies to come. You know, one of the worst wars to me for many reasons was Vietnam. And not just because we lost the war, but it was just hard to see your enemy. It could be north or south. And the forests were so thick. And you had to walk so carefully in the groups that went through the jungle. Because they could be hiding anywhere. You know, Satan's out there to devour you. If we would take that same caution of checking and looking and having our finger on the trigger and ready to go with the devil, you've got to be on guard, not careless in the spiritual life. You got to be on guard. Next, how can we give the devil an advantage? Well, we can give a place. We can not replace the bad. We can let unforgiveness remain and give him a place that way. We cannot be on guard. We just got to be careful. And last of all, I want to say, how can we keep the devil from having an advantage over us? Well, one of the mistakes he made is not being prayed for. This is a bad mistake that we make. Not being prayed for. Let me read you some verses on this. Luke chapter 22. Jesus talking to Peter about, you're in big trouble, Peter, and you're about to be devoured. Luke chapter 22. And verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. He says, you're in big trouble. You're about to be thrashed by Satan. But I prayed for you, and you're going to make it. James chapter 5 tells us that we should have this in our life, and we should be prayed for with each other. James 5 and verse 15. Boy, what a dangerous thing not to be prayed for. James 5 and 15. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God says, pray for each other. Confess what you need. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. Listen, Satan can get a real advantage when we're not praying for each other. You know, the truth is when I've started to, I don't know if it's cheating, but to me it's just something so easy for me is, I am now beginning to go overseas. When I go overseas, I know they pray more there because they're less distracted. They simply have less to take their minds. I think of, you know, Brother Ochalva that I'll see in a month, and think about how he lives in St. Michelle, but his church is way in the boondocks, and he has to walk 3 hours to church. And think, man, how he must pray. Well, he doesn't get an iPod in his ear. And just thinking how much he must pray. 3 hours to church, 3 hours back, walking. Nothing around you but sugar cane and some coconut trees. By the way, we had such an amazing group that went there, and they were so good and such a blessing and everything. You know, none of them complained about not having their technology. Now, you don't even know. You're kind of like, this is kind of relaxing when you get that way. And they had time to pray. And so I go to these churches, and you know, I have noticed when I just asked them, will you guys pray for me? I'll ask the whole pastor's conference. I want you guys each, how many of you will pray for Open Door Baptist Church? You know, I began to really notice how much easier things get when somebody's praying for me. It just, things go differently. Because God uses prayer for each other. I wonder how often somebody in this room, maybe me or somebody else in this room, somebody who sits across from you or sitting next to you, I wonder if you pray for them enough to deliver them. And how much you pray for each other, and how much I pray for you, and how much you pray for me. Listen, we're all under attack, aren't we? Every one of us have battles, don't we? Brothers and sisters and moms and dads and everybody in this room, Satan's after us. He said, I'm praying for you, Peter, that you'll make it. I wonder if we fail sometimes because nobody in the church is actually praying for us. The Bible commands you confess your faults. It doesn't say you have to confess your sins. A fault is different from a sin. The sin might have been you lost your temper and threw something through the window. But the fault might be, you know, can you pray for me? I really have problems with my temper. It's a little easier to confess that and pray for one another. And then God says it's effective. If you don't want Satan to get an advantage, then have somebody praying for you. Man, we're in trouble. I, 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 I miss the days where I could just go find the old prayer warriors and just say, will you pray for me, and not have to worry about it anymore. I know they're going to pray for me. Nowadays, we don't have that. We don't have people who really I know are going to pray. And well, I'm sure we do. I just don't know who they are. There used to be just people who were just bulldogs. They were pit bulls with prayer. I mean, they just grabbed and held on. We need that. And Satan will get an advantage if we don't have us, ourselves praying for each other. Let's not give Satan an advantage. He's got a wicked world. He's got enough of an advantage with this world we live in. I mean, and by the way, when I tell you I read a Bible every day, I don't do that because I'm so spiritual. I do that because I'm not that spiritual. I can't afford to miss a Bible day of reading my Bible and a day of prayer and a bit not going to church. I need these things. Satan, I'm weak. I don't want to give him any advantage. Pray for one another. Replace and don't leave voids. Do not let anger and unforgiveness remain. Keep on guard. Don't give Satan a place to keep on working. He'll come and he'll tempt you, and he has that right. But you can resist him, and he has to flee unless you give him the right to stay, because you're leaving something. An invitation to stay. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So let's do these things. Let's not give the devil an advantage. Let's not give the devil a place. And let's resist him and let him go away and get a break sometimes, so we can be refreshed and be strong. But you got to do that. You do not let the devil have those advantages. Even the Apostle Paul said, let's get this forgiveness thing right, lest Satan should get advantage over us. If the Apostle Paul said, I don't want Satan to have an advantage over me, you and I better be careful, because we're not as strong as him. So let's not give him a place. Let's make it a slippery slope up to us in Teflon, so he slides out of the way after he tries to attack it. Let's just get him away from us. Don't give him a place. Don't let him hang around. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, I pray tonight that we learned about the danger of giving the devil a place. Lord, I pray that we would just be people who, though we get attacked, we are being sober and vigilant, and we're ready, and we're strong in the faith. Lord, we are weak creatures, so, Lord, we don't need to give Satan any advantage. We don't need to give him any place to work. Please help us, Father. And I pray today that you spoke to every one of us as we need spoken to, and I pray that we would apply this message, and I pray that we'd make our spiritual lives easier by doing this. And if there's some changes we need to make, Lord, I pray we'd make them. If there's some things you need more careful of, whatever it is, Lord, I just pray you spoke. I don't know what everybody needs to do, but I pray you spoke. I pray that they would do what you spoke to them about. And I pray that our hearts would be tender towards you, and we would make our spiritual lives easier tonight. Please, Lord, help us to do so. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed.